to find your Bible. And I want you to go to Exodus. And then I want you to go to Psalms. And then I want you to go to... Ecclesiastes. And everything you hear tonight, you must blame it on Brother Ralph Cox. Everything. I take no responsibility for nothing. He was a-preaching in Texas and took a text on what I'm fixing to read to you tonight. And while he was a-preaching, I was a-seeing it at youth camps. And after service was over, he walked up to me and he said, "I want you to preach this." And I said, I'm a-gonna. And so I'm a-gonna try tonight. And see what happens. God love your hearts. You got Exodus chapter 30? There we go. Praise God. Exodus chapter 30. Yeah. If I can't get through. Oh, if Brother Leon needs to get through there, he can't. All right. I don't want to quench his spirit, and I don't want him knocking over my table. Now, here we go. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. Everything I'm going to preach tonight, I'm dead serious about. I mean dead serious about it. Absolutely. Ain't no reasonable doubt about it. Everything that I preach tonight, I am dead serious about. Dead serious. We're going to kill it is what we're going to do. We're going to kill it. How would you like your youth camp killed on the second night? Oh, we're going to kill it. Let's find it. Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. "Moreover, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, of cassia, 500 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, a hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy anointment, an anointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil." Psalms puts it this way. 92:10. "But my horn shalt thou exalt, like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with..." Kool-Aid. "I shall be anointed with A&W. Root beer. Have you turned there? Have you found it? "Shall be anointed with fresh oil." That's what we need. I just love to be able to take last year's youth camp book, open it up and point to every sermon that Brother Larry Darter preached. I just love to, and be able to shout on that, but can't. Got to have something fresh. Let's go to my text. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, the first verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, first verse. Here we go. This is what I'm getting to. "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor." What I want to preach about tonight. We have got to keep the flies out of this. We've got to do it. We have got to keep the flies out of this meeting. We've got to do it. You moms and daddies, you've got to keep the flies out of your experience. You've got to do it. You young folks, we've got to keep them out. Prove it. Okay. I'm preaching tonight on exposing the great fly scandal. Oh, God. Exposing the great fly scandal. Lord, if you'll touch us and help us. Give us the holy, fresh anointing oil tonight. We'll be careful to praise you. Be careful to give you all of the glory and take no credit. According to your riches and your blessed holy name, touch us tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's talk a few seconds about an apothecary. Anybody know what it is? It ain't no animal from Africa. An apothecary is a druggist. He's a pharmacist. Down at the drugstore, the old trade, apothecary. He mixed stuff up and down, you understand? This will take a minute. He gave a pan and he reached in his cupboard and he'd bring him out a few little choice ingredients. Everybody had to have a little few choice ingredients. And reach down inside there and get him a little oil out. And you see, he was he liked to experiment. He liked to come up with something new. I'd say the first guy that ever come up with cologne was probably trying to make some kind of fly spray or something. And it just smelled too good to put on him, so he put it in a bottle and give it to his wife. I'm telling you, he's an apothecary. He likes to mix stuff and stir stuff up. He likes to take a dab of this. Just a dab of it. We don't need much. It ain't no sense. Takes a dab of this, and we take a pinch of this, and we're going to reach over here, and we're going to get a leaf of this, and we want to put that down inside there, and you can't forget just a little bit of this, and we want to mix it, is what we want to do with it, and make sure that everything's in there just right. Then we want to see how good it is. We want to see how wonderful it is, and we want to see how good it smells. And the way I got it figured is, if Walmart could get a hold of this and put it in bottles, I'd be rich. It's good stuff. It's good for you. It's good. It just kind of draws folks' attention when you put it on. Just look how good I've got their attention up here with it slapped on here. You do understand that this guy was great at mixing up stuff. Oh, yes, he was. He was a master at what he did. And I want to tell you something. As long as that pot stayed pure, as long as the ingredients, the mixture inside that pot, stayed without blemish and without any kind of spot whatsoever, it smelled just as good the next day as it did the first. As long as he watched it, as long as he did not neglect it, as long as he kept his eyes upon what he had, the next day he could go to his mixture. Hold it. Oh, he got away. The next day he could go to his mixture. He could put a little behind his ear and say, "Ah, it feels as good today as it did yesterday. It's just as fresh as it ever was. It's just as real as it ever was. It's just as wet as it ever was." Ah, as long as he kept his eye on it, and as long as he guarded it, as long as he didn't let anything defile it or anything pollute it, it was just as good the next day as it was the day he got it. I'm getting ready to preach something to you. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, you little darlings, look this way. As long as you guard what you got, it'll be just as fresh tomorrow as it was today. As long as you don't let anything pollute it, as long as you don't let anything defile it, as long as you don't let anything light on the edge and die there, it's going to be just as good tomorrow as it was today. You can shout with it in your home church all by yourself, just as well as you can shout with it at youth camp with 100 campers standing around you. You can throw your hands up and worship God in the worst trial just as easy as you can throw your hands up and worship God in the best youth camp you've ever been in. As long as you guard this, as long as we keep this, as long as we watch this, as long as we don't let nobody or anything touch this, it can be just as good tonight as it was the day Brother Ralph Cox made it. It can be just as good tonight as it was the day Brother Carl Page felt it. It can be just as good tonight as it was the night that Brother Leon Farley jumped in and let it run down all over his face and all over his soul. But I want to tell you something in this church house, and I'm not going to be up here very long, but I want to tell you something. If the flies on this campground have their choice, they're going to do their best to pollute it. They're going to do their best to walk around the edge, peer down into it, do their best to taste it, and do their best to sample it. They're the only good fly in this world. The only one that I've ever seen that was worth having was a dead one. I hate them. I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they fly. I don't like their hairy legs. I don't like their eyeballs. I don't like nothing about a fly. I hate them. The only good fly is a dead fly. Unless those dead flies start to pollute things that we hold precious and we hold dear. And then they become a problem in themselves. I want to tell you something. What you young folks are going to have to do tonight, what you mamas and daddies are going to have to do tonight, we're going to have to keep the flies away. We're going to have to guard this campground. We're going to have to guard the altars. We're going to have to guard the dorms. We're going to have to guard the trailers. But we're going to don't have to worry about guarding my trailer. I got 6,000 chiggers on alert. But I want to tell you something. We're going to have to guard this place. There is a subtle force just outside the walls of this tabernacle that would love to come within our ranks and take everything that used to smell good and turn it into a stink. Take everything that used to feel good and turn it into a sham. Take everything that used to make us shout and turn it into a pout. There is a destructive underlying force around our world that would love to make his way under our tabernacles, destroy our young folks, shut down our cafeterias, turn our campgrounds into isolation dens, and absolutely put a stop to everything that is righteous and everything that is holy. And it is not our singing that the devil's concerned about. And it is not our preaching that the devil's concerned about. He's concerned about what's right here in this pot. You take that child and you've got everything that we've got that makes us different. You can take this oil out of here and we could be the Lions Club. You could take this anointment out of here and we could be a bunch of Masons. But when you bring the anointing in the midst of a bunch of people, you have a group of folks that have been sanctified and called out into his name. Are you listening to me? But you must understand that we've got to put everything. We've got to guard that. I'm telling you, we've got to stake our life on that. Brother Height, sometimes you're radical. Oh no. I'm just on guard duty, you understand? I'm just on guard duty. Sometimes you say stuff that ain't even in the Bible. Oh, I know it. I just love watching folks look for it. I'm just on guard duty. I'm just trying to keep my eyes open. I'm just trying to watch and stay ahead. But I want to tell you something. The mightiest thing on this campground, the mightiest move of God that we can have on this campground is going to come from the holy anointing oil that comes straight down out of God's heaven. Oh, yes, it is. You see, we need a supernatural covering to start high and run down, drip down our eyes and off our brows, and run down our necks and down our chests and down our arms. We need a supernatural covering about us that literally replaces the flesh. We need such a covering about us that the flesh must decrease and the Spirit of God must increase. We must have that covering, you hear me? And oh, tonight, Brother Ralph Cox, for a visitation of the divine apothecary that can take your praise and your glory, your hallelujahs and our songs, and mix it into a mixture. And then the master of the universe stand and anoint the young folks on the front row, and anoint the preacher sitting on the front, and anoint the young folks sitting to the side. Oh, for a visitation tonight of holy anointing oil that would literally sanctify and call us out. But we must beware. We must beware. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Do you understand? Do you understand? I'm going to come to something. There's something dreadfully wrong here. You know what? That ain't. Don't smell like it used to. Don't feel like it used to. It ain't doing what it used to. Are you listening to me? I think I'll shell corn. Here we go. Pray, darling. Pray, wife. Pray, sweetie. Pray, all of you. Listen to me. Did you know that as far as I can understand, in 1987, there's dead flies in the ointment? As far as I can see, there's a stink arising up to meet me. It ain't as sweet as it used to be. Something must have happened. Something must have happened. Can I preach just a minute and tell you that the reason why some gospel music stinks is because there's dead flies in the microphones? Can I preach so long as to tell you that the reason some preaching stinks is there dead flies in the prayer rooms? Can I go so bold as to tell you that the reason why some youth camps have gone down the tubes is because there's dead flies in the management? Can I tell you that the reason why some folks ain't got it anymore is they forgot to guard the pot? And while you had your head turned watching something and paying attention to something that had no bearing whatsoever on God, flies lit on the side and flies fell in and died. And now the good and the glory and what you had, how you felt it, oh, how wonderful it was. Why? There ain't nothing in this world that irritates me anymore than to go into some Pentecostal and holiness churches, preach a revival, and have somebody come up to be prayed for, and reach into the into the pulpit and break out a bottle of oil that's got sediments about 3.5 inches deep in the bottom of that bottle. That bothers me. When you take the lid off, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing in this world that stinks anymore than stale oil. You're looking at me now. I'm not making a doctrine on that, you understand. They do still sell it. I like it fresh. I like it alive, and I like it anointed. And I like it straight from God. Oh, yes, I do. And that's how I like my camp meetings, and that's how I like my preaching. That's how I like my singers, and that's how I like my sermons. I don't want a bunch of sediment in the bottom of it where you got to shake it to get it to go. I want it to be fresh from the very start. I want it to be alive from the very start. Now, you hear me. We cannot neglect this great salvation and keep a shouting. We cannot neglect this great anointing and keep our camp meetings open. We will not be able to neglect this oil and have the power of God within us like we used to have. This is what charges the battery. This is what keeps us going. And when you neglect this, you have neglected everything. Now, I'm coming to something else. Listen to me. I break out a piece of paper and pencil. This is important. You're not going to want to miss it. Turn me up real loud. I want them to get this. Everybody, I want you to hear this. I am fixing to make one of the most profound statements that you have ever heard in your life. Are you ready? This is it. Here we go. Can you remember it? Don't forget it. All you young preachers, write this down. It'll help you. Are you ready? Here we go. This is it. Every dead fly one day was alive.
Come on, Brother Jones. You're preaching that too far.
Seems like I heard that from Jimmy Swacker. They shouted him now, and you sat there and looked at me like you knew it. Now listen to me. Now listen to me. Every dead fly at one time was alive. I don't mind to tell you, Connie, that you could have killed that fly when he started to warm up to you and try to court you. You could have mashed his ever-loving guts out the first night that the long-haired hippie invited you down to the pizza place. You could have shook your head no back and forth so fast that he'd have thought you was a merry-go-round if you'd have had any guts, Connie, but you didn't. And so you pampered that little fly, and you fed that little fly, and you babied that little fly. And 2 days after your wedding, when that fly stood up and said, "I've been a homosexual for years, and my boyfriend's a-fixing to move in with us," you wished 1,000 times you'd have killed that thing before it died on you. Are you listening to what I'm trying to tell you? Every fly that has died and polluted your oil was one time alive. There was a time before you lost it, you could have killed it. There was a time before he took your glory that you could have killed him. There was a time that before the devil robbed you of your joy, you could have robbed the devil and kept your joy. Are you listening to me? Mike, are you in here? When you told me at school, Mike, how good Michelob was, you could have killed that fly right then and there. But you didn't. You fed him and you took care of him. And you babied him and you petted him and you carried him around with you. Until a few months back, I get a telephone call that fly has died now. And Mike's wrapped around a telephone pole down in southern Illinois, dead one night, out on the road all by himself, stone drunk. You could have took care of it before it killed you. You could have watched it if you had had your eyes open, but oh no! Oh no, not Mr. Spiritual you. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Then sit there. When I got news for you, you're heading down the wrong road, and you're heading down it fast. And the glory and the anointing is leaving it at the same speed that you are. Now you hear me. Sharon, yes. Sharon, yes. You could have killed that fly when you had a chance. You could have got rid of that boy when you had a chance, but you didn't. And you come up pregnant, and he wouldn't marry you. And you tried to talk to him one night not far from my house, and he wouldn't listen. And he took a broom, and he killed you and the unborn babe. The fly died that night. Are you hearing me? There's an opportunity. If you would just understand, you could correct some problems tonight before they kill you. You folks could take care of some differences before they kill you. But one of these days, you're going to want to shout, and it's going to be stale. You're going to need to pray, and you ain't going to feel God. You need to take care of it while there's time. Are you listening? I ain't got time to tell you about some more young folks. I got to preach this message to you. And so the flies have come in, and the flies have landed on the side of our services. And down inside the pot, they've died there. My goodness sakes alive. You got a twin? Well, you do. Flies in the pot. Are you hearing me? Got rebellion written all across their bellies. Both them devils do. Are you listening? Do you understand that camp meetings and youth camps are getting tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter? The years that I went to youth camp, a director would never have to get up and say, there's some stealing going on inside the shower room. It wasn't that way. But in the youth camp that we just left up in Indiana, one whole boy's luggage and suits were taken. And the camp had to buy him a whole new outfit just to get him home. I'm trying to tell you something. There's stuff crawling in among us. And it's affecting our altars. It's affecting our young folks, and it's affecting our services. It's making it tough on the directors and tight on the preachers. Are you hearing me? In fact, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we ain't got about 6 old blowflies tonight trying to lay eggs in the middle of this service and do their best to destroy it. But I got news for you. We may not kill them, but I'm going to point to them, and I'm going to tell you that we've got rebellion, and he's flying around our campgrounds. The mamas and daddies that won't give heed to the pastor. Young folks that won't give heed to their mamas and daddies. Nobody wants to answer to nobody. Everybody is their own boss. And when you come to a campground with rules, everybody goes crazy. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to tell you that it's got in the anointing. It's affecting our services. It has got in our preaching. And it has got in our shouting. It has got in our worship. Are you hearing me? It's got in us. My God of heaven, it is not Brother Height and Brother Blue and Brother Meadows and Brother Farley and Brother Cox getting up behind pulpits preaching that it's a shame for you women to cut and whack and trim on your hair. I don't tear you up. You can read that in the Bible. You know that's in there. It's the anointing and the authority that we preach it with that you reject. It's not that it's in the Bible. It's the fact that somebody have enough bold brass to stand up and look you square in the eye and say, and you know it's right. That's why I irritate some folks. Won't everybody shout at once? I didn't hardly think you would. But I'm going to tell it right. Brother Cox, 5 more minutes, son, and you get the microphone. I'm going to the chiggers. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's not the fact that we preach that you girls ought not wear slacks that tears you all up. I preached it in Michigan up in a church in Michigan. And I had a girl walk up to me, and she said, you offended me. And I explained to her, talked to her a little bit. Why she said, talking about me wearing my jeans. And I said, just a minute, let me get my Bible. And she said, oh, no, I know it's in there. It ain't lawful to slap their contacts out. But I would have loved to see if I could spun them around at least twice. Hold it. If you know it's in there, and you know it's required, and you know that's what it takes, why in the name of God's heaven are you rebelling against the only way out of here, against the only power out of here? Listen to me. Oh, I see. World likeness. Ah, yes. Yeah, get your tickers up here. World likeness. Now, I didn't say worldliness, Brother Cox. I didn't say worldliness. I said world likeness. I put a difference there. Some folks don't, but when you think like I think, it's not hard to come up with all kinds of definitions. I think there's a difference in worldliness and world-likeness. I think worldliness is just plain and simple being an old world in person and acting like them. But I think world-likeness is wanting to go to church and shout and sing and feel the blessings of God and still have some of the trappings of the world about them. And don't everybody shout at once. I'm a fixin', as Brother Ralph Cox would say, to plow this road clean. I don't have to cover this no more during this meeting. But I'm going to just shell it. I'm going to just tell it. It's a killing our anointing. It's getting in our services. We preach and we stand and we proclaim that a woman's hair is her glory. And I don't doubt that you don't cut it. But we've got new hairstyles now that we frizz the back end and pull it up over the front to make it look cut. Are you listening to me? Not worldly, but like the world. And it's infiltrating us. Oh, God of heaven. Did you know last week? I don't know if this fad has hit Oklahoma yet. Brother Blue said, how was it he put that? That he hasn't noticed it yet. It's coming. So I'm just going to beat it. I never seen nothing like it in my life. Bunch of ignoramuses. Long hair and long sleeves, shouting the glory of God, reaching down, getting the bottom of their dress, heisting it all the way up past their knee, tying it in a knot, and letting their underwear show underneath it. I'm telling you, that's spiritual. There's just something about that that just makes me want to shout. And that's what I'm doing. Shouting! Do you hear me? I'm a shouting! I'm trying to tell you that we cannot fight the long dresses, they have them. And we can't fight the long hair, we have it. But there is a spirit that is absolutely infiltrating us. Are you listening to me? We're so stinking fast and conscious that we are losing the anointing and the power and the glory. Are you listening? You know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. It'll do me no good to go into other areas. Areas that I see right here. It'll do me no good. I have fought years preaching against slits. And the first day on the campground, it was either her go change clothes or ever boil on the ground, have to put on blinders. We preached her guts out. But I give you my case in point. Our services are getting tighter. It's getting harder to pray anybody through. How long has it been since folks come up with a baptism? It's affecting the folks that I preach for. It's affecting the folks that I'm standing for. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. And while I'm on the area that Brother Blue so faithfully covered today, I must go ahead and tell you, my God of heaven, boys, hair ain't in your eyes. Are running down the back of your neck. Are you listening to what I'm trying to tell you? Is not popular. Most folks don't even ask for it to come back, but it doesn't do away with the fact. If you're not troubled about it, then I'm not troubled about it. But if you are, then I have come to preach and to yell and to sweat and to scratch and to do my best to bring us into a relationship with God this week that'll make a mark in our churches when we go home. We've got something that's killing us. I'm winding down here. We got something that's killing us. Dave, where you at? Where's Dave? We got something that's killing us, Dave. That last fly there, I'm telling you, he's rough. He's rough. His name is Wait. If we can get you to wait till Friday, then we can get you to wait till service is over. And there'll be young folks come and go off this campground, and likely some go to hell that would not have had to go if they hadn't let that fly get in the ointment. There'll be young men that will not pray this entire meeting that could have felt the glory and the power of God if they'd have got the fly out before he died there. And there'll be young ladies sit back and sneak around and not pay a lick of attention to nothing that could have done something for God and been a work in the ministry. But they didn't get rid of the dead flies when they had a chance. So you must understand, I'm sick of what they're doing. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of us looking like the world still trying to shout like homeless folks. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of us trying to fashion ourselves after Hollywood, but yet preach against it and say it ain't right. I'm sick of that. Sick of it. I'm sick of waiting till later and wait till tomorrow. I'm sick of it. And I'm tired of the attitude from holiness folks in holiness homes with no television. They ain't going to tell me how to live or how my kids are going to dress. You're not going to tell me that I got to pay my tithes. And you ain't going to tell me when I can come and when I can go. I'm spiritual. Oh, yes, you are. And God love your heart. And you're spiritual. And I'm sick of it. It's a hurting us and it's a killing us. And it's making it tighter. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Brother Darrell Meadows, is he already gone? Brother Steve Hawkins, I'll tell you what we're going to do, me and Steve Hawkins. And Steve Hawkins is going to walk over here and we're going to get this bowl of Beth. And he's going to walk right over here outside this tabernacle. And he's going to pitch the contents of that mess out. We're going to get rid of it. We're going to go just take it across there. We're fixing to cast out rebellion. We're fixing to cast out world likeness. We're fixing to cast out procrastination. We're going to get rid of it. We're going to get rid of it. Just throw it. Let them see you throw it, son. Just, it's back. There it goes. There it goes. Oh, glory be to God. Oh, God. I guarantee you the tree dies. Listen to me. Listen to me. We're going to get rid of it. Here we are. Yeah, we are. We're going to get rid of it. Well, they don't get rid of it. Oh, we're going to get rid of it. Oh, yes, we're going to get rid of it. But what are we going to do for a replacement? I called Jim and Tammy. Oh, no, no, no. We got rid of them, too. No! No, we're going to get rid of it. We're going to get rid of it. I'm going to mix up another batch. I'm going to do it like Moses said, do it. I'm going to do it like God said to Moses to do it. I'm going to go by the instructions. You understand me? I'm going to go by the instructions. I'm going to take a little myrrh. Just a little myrrh. Just a little myrrh. A little flash water. I'm going to stir it up in here. You understand that? Huh? What do you think? A myrrh is done. How would you say? Soothing. We're so nervous that we need something to calm us down. Oh, yes, we are. We've heard so much beat and bang and bebop that literally it's a shaking us all the way down to our shoes. We need to be anointed with something that'll give us the peace of God that passes all understanding. We need it. So I'm going to anoint it in here. Here we are. Then a little cinnamon. Tell me, is that cinnamon? I'm talking about cinnamon. Cinnamon.
cinnamon hot, spicy. Yo! We need something. I'm going to tell you what, to make them chiggers wish that they'd have got on a Baptist or something. We need something hot shut up within our bones, that when the wet blanket does come down, we can burn it off. Wow! With the anointing of God and the power of God. Thank God in heaven. Tell the cooks about this. They'll want some in the morning. We need a little calamus. This little soothing, little easing. Oh, yes, just enough. We need a little acacia. It's so sweet. And some holiness folks need a baptism of it. You're welcome. You don't believe it, but I believe I could charge hell with a water gun right now. Listen to me. But all the fire and all the sweetness and all the everything wouldn't amount to nothing if you don't put the oil in there. You got to have the oil, do you understand? You need it. You need it on you. You need it in you. You need the oil. Lubrication. Slick. Are you hearing me? Ain't nothing dry about this boy. Loose as a goose. Woo! We need something about us that you don't have to say, raise your hands and praise God. They just slip up there without even knowing it. We need something you don't have to say. Stand with us. It just slips up without knowing it. We need that oil. Now that is a batch. That'll make you hug your mama. I'm just trying to tell you something in this tabernacle tonight. I ain't trying to be silly and I ain't trying to be foolish. And I sure ain't trying to disqualify myself. I'm just trying to get up here behind this little pulpit and take this little dipper of something fresh and tell you that if you get rid of the stale stuff, and if you'll get rid of the dead stuff, and you'll get rid of everything that's got you down, and you'll get under the tap of something cool and something alive and something fresh, if you just get under the spigot, you'd be able to say, ah, it's all over me. And it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive, all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Ah, the oil, the oil. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you what, night speakers need to be anointed with that blessed oil and that blessed touch. I tell you something else. Young preachers from export that play trumpets and play bass guitars needs to be anointed with this wonderful mixture that comes right down out of heaven. Oh, yes, they do. I'll even go so far as to tell you that the day speakers needs to be anointed with that great fresh oil that comes straight down from the counselor's need to be anointed. The board members need to be anointed with something fresh. Are you hearing me? Young folks need it. I need it. You need it. Wow! You need it. I need it. We must have it. We must have it. We must have it. And I'm going to guard it. I'm going to guard it. Are you listening to me? I'm going to guard it. You ain't going to get it. You ain't going to take our shout. You ain't going to take our camp. You ain't going to take it. You ain't going to have it. You ain't going to have it. You buzz one time, and I'm fixing to put your lights out. Hallelujah. They don't get it. They don't get it. That ointment needs to run down our face, taking makeup, earrings, and jewelry off as it runs down. On you boys' shirts until the buttons button automatically. Needs to put a hem in your girls' dresses. And almost is going to say easy hose, but I won't.